The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. I realize what time it is, so you need not to be concerned. I promise you tonight that the message will only last as long as the message lasts, and then we will go home. And so please be mindful that I'm very conscious about the time tonight. I don't want you to be in a hurry tonight. I want you to enjoy church. You know, sometimes here's what we do. We try to cram Christ and the Word of God and God into our little finite mind of thinking. And we give God a certain amount of time. And after that, we just kind of cut Him off. And we don't need to do that tonight. And I want you to listen to what the Bible says tonight. It could be a help to you. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, as I read it again, he says, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And I want to speak to you tonight on leading without excuse. Leading without excuse. Somebody says, "What is hope for mankind?" Hope shines brightest in the darkest hour. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens while the brightness and bitterness of sin bites. Hope sings when all the melodies are gone. Hope believes when the evidence is not there to be seen. Hope listens for answers when nobody is talking. Hope climbs over the obstacles when nobody is helping. Hope endures hardship when no one is carrying on. Hope smiles confidently when no one else is even cracking a smile. Hope reaches for answers when nobody is willing to give an answer. Hope presses forward to victory when nobody is encouraging. By the way, everybody needs hope. Where we find hope is many times in those that we trust in leadership. Somebody's watching you tonight, which means you're a leader to somebody. Somebody tonight is following you, which means that you're a leader to somebody. Somebody tonight is looking at you as a role model, which means that they will adopt and adapt the way that you are presently living your life. Josiah was a king at the age of 9, and he led the kingdom to righteousness. He gave some people some hope. The little lad gave up his lunch of some barley loaves and just a few small fishes, and God used it to feed a multitude of 5,000, and it gave some people hope. David was used of God to kill the giant Goliath when all the others had given up hope. The Samaritan woman was used of God to be able to lead the city to Christ when all others were doing nothing of the sort. Moses was used of God, yea, though he had a stammering tongue and a lack of confidence, to be able to lead over a million Jews out of bondage. Gideon, as we learned this morning, Gideon was a man that lacked faith and had very little confidence, but yet God turned him into a mighty man of valor, and he led those to victory over others in battle. Andrew was a quiet man, meek in spirit, but God used him to lead Peter to Christ, and therein we found hope. Peter was a man that was a big mouth. He spoke before he thought. He said things when he should have not. Yet Peter was a man that even was known as a really big backslider. But 55 days after he backslid, may I remind you that God chose him to preach on the day of Pentecost and gave some people hope. John the Baptist was a soft-hearted man, I do believe. I believe that he had a heart for the Savior like none other that was in his shoes. And yet he was a man that gave people hope. Mary Magdalene was a lady that was possessed, if you would please, of 7 demons, yet became very well acquainted with her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and she met the needs of others and gave people great hope. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. But yet he became a mighty king for God. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And because of that, he gave some people hope. There was Elijah. Elijah became fearful of the queen, but please do not, if you will, forget that during the days of his great faith, there was a lot of people that developed some hope. There was Samuel, just a young boy, but yet he knew how to speak for God. And God began to use him, and he turned into a mighty prophet, and he gave some people hope. Now, how is it tonight that you and I can decide that we're going to lead people without excuse, and yea, be used of God to be able to give some other people hope? Let me give you a couple of thoughts tonight. Statement number one, stand up. Stand up. In order to give somebody hope, they've got to see somebody standing up. You do not give people hope by sitting down among the crowd and being just like everybody else. You give people hope when you stand up for something. I'd rather have somebody stand up for something and sit down and believe nothing. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, the Bible says, to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. If you'll note when he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 13, he said, be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And in verse 14, he said, stand therefore. And so God says, in order to be able to lead people without excuse, we have to help them by standing. We need people today to stand right inside of the home. People today to stand right at the business place. People today to stand right in the schools. To stand right in the neighborhood. To stand right in the church. Somebody has to stand up for God. Somebody has to say, listen, here's what I'm going to do. When God's name is used in vain, I'm going to love God enough to be able to stand up. When somebody mistreats a lady, somebody needs to stand up. When somebody tries to hurt a child, somebody needs to stand up. When somebody talks bad about the church or the preacher, somebody needs to stand up. Years ago, there was an atheist professor. He walked across the platform and he said, I'll give anybody $100 that proves that there is a God. Young man in the back was a wealthy individual. He raised his hand and he said, I'll give somebody $100,000 if you can prove there is not a God. What happened? Somebody stood. Years ago, there was the Great Wall of China. They built that wall to protect China. A gigantic wall was it. They looked at the wall and it was so tall and so thick, nobody penetrated through the wall as they would attack China. The first 100 years, however, there was three major attacks at three different times on China. They did not go up the wall. They did not break through the wall. They simply went to the gates. And as they went to the gates, they bribed the people. And as they bribed the people, these people dropped their patriotism, took the bribe, and let them through the gates. You know what happened? Somebody didn't stand. Somebody decided that they were not going to stand and do that which is right. May I say today in our given generation, we need people that's going to decide they're going to stand for that which is right. I'd rather you stand for that which is right and be hated by those that are sitting around in criticism than not to stand for anything. By the way, if you're standing for something, you're always going to have the critics. But I would rather stand for something and have those that are worldly and have those that are backsliding begin to backbite you, and all of a sudden you dip your colors and you dip your standards and you not serve Jesus Christ and be criticized and become some compromising liberal than somebody that stands true for Jesus Christ. Somebody's got to stand. I'm saying tonight that in order to be able to help others, in order to be able to lead others without excuse, stand. Stand. You can stand, if you will, in your mild-mannered fashion. You can stand with your personality. You can stand as an introvert. You can stand and be melancholy. But you've got to stand. The reason that our America that we love and America that we cherish is going to hell in a handbasket is because we have Christians that are just becoming passive and Christians that are not taking their stand. I'm saying this tonight, number one, how is it that we can lead without excuse? Statement number one, stand. Statement number two, take a step. Take a step. It's one thing to stand, it's another thing to take a step. Someone said this, that the position of the body is the position of the soul. Why is it important that sometimes your children see you go to the altar? Because the position of the body is the position of the soul. Why do we expect our young people to behave in such a fashionable way that would give an example of what true Christianity ought to be? Because the position of the body is the position of the soul. Why is it that sometimes you ought to agree with the preacher, even though you don't say amen, even though you're not one of the shouting, why is it that maybe you ought to agree with him just by smiling a little bit? I'll tell you why, because the position of the body is the position of the soul. Why is it that we have an altar call? Because the position of the body is the position of the soul. I would not want to attend a church that did not have an altar call. What do you do when you come and you kneel? Here's what you're doing. You're showing God and you're showing those that are watching that you are submitting yourself to that which is God and truth. May I remind you, please, in the Bible, there's always been an altar. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, the Bible says that Noah builded an altar. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 9, the Bible says that Abraham built an altar. Genesis chapter 35 and in verse 3, the Bible says, I will make there an altar. Exodus chapter 17 and in verse 15, the Bible says, build an altar. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 30, the Bible says, Elijah repaired the altar. Psalm 43 and in verse 4, the Bible says, so will I go to the altar of God. Joel chapter 1 and in verse 13, the Bible says, weep between the porch and the altar. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 23, the Bible says, bring thou the gift to the altar. The book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 23, the Bible says, I found an altar. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, give attendance to the altar. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10, the Bible says, we have an altar. Revelation chapter 6 and in verse 7, the Bible says, I saw under the altar. Do you realize that most major decisions are made at the altar? Do you realize there's a reason when we marry people at the altar? Do you realize that the altar is a sacred place? The altar is a holy place. The altar is a sacrificial place. The altar is a place of dedication. The altar is a place of decision. I'm saying that from time to time, you ought to shock yourself and make a trip to the altar. Amen. It's okay to pray in your seat, but not everybody knows that you're praying while you're in your seat. It is okay to make your decisions while walking, if you would please, out the door, but it doesn't make a decision to somebody that you have made any decisions in your life. I submit to you tonight, if you want your children to go to the altar from time to time, they ought to see you go to the altar. Your children will not become what you want them to be, nor will they become what you demand of them to be, nor will they always pay attention to the words of exhortation of you giving them to be, but most of the time, your children will become what you are. Your children become a shadow of what you are. You ask a child today, why did you do that? And often the child will say, because I saw mama. Why did you do that? Often a child will say, because I saw daddy. Now I'm saying tonight that we understand there is the necessity of taking a stand, but there's also the necessity of stepping out. Oh, but preacher, I don't have to come soul winning. Okay, so you're a great soul winner, but somebody else needs to be encouraged, and somebody else needs to be helped, and somebody else needs to be strengthened. And you can be one of the greatest soul winners of all time, but if you're not setting an example for somebody else to follow, then I submit to you tonight that you're not being all the example that you ought to be. Why do you expect your kids to be more spiritual than you? Well, it's because I did it when I was younger. Well, what's the matter in doing it while you're older? Why can't... Oh, okay, watch. Here's a person in church that's a daddy, a mama. They get on to their child. Don't text in church. Yet they text in church. You need to slap yourself. You're doing something that is totally different than what your kids. Your kids will copy more what you do than what you say that they should do. Oh, come on, logic with me, would you? Let's have fun. You want to? Sunday night, let's have fun. It is more important that you do what you're supposed to do than you keep correcting your children when they don't do what they are not supposed to be doing. Stay with the thought. If I had a choice between a parent that was saying it and doing it, that's better than a parent that, stay with me, that is saying to do it, but don't do it themselves. Wait. Let me give you room to breathe. But I'd rather have a parent that wanted me to do spiritual things and them not do it themselves. At least they're making a C. I'd rather have a parent making a C than a parent that's making an F. But if you want to make an A, don't just talk about it. Do it in front of your kids. Be that one that guides them, that helps them. Oh, you ought to read your Bible. But are you reading yours? You ought to pray. But are you praying? You ought to give. But are you giving? You ought to go soul winning. But are you going soul winning? You ought to be faithful to church. But are you being faithful to church? I'm saying this. Let's not just talk about it. Let's walk it. Statement number one, stand up. Somebody's got to stand up. Look. You're not going to lose your kid if you tell your kid no. Come on. You expect the church to raise your kid. You're supposed to raise your kid. Your daughter starts wearing short dresses, you get on to her. Your boy starts growing long hair, you get on to him. All of a sudden, they start looking at dirty stuff. You take care of it. You step up. You be the one. The reason we're losing our homes is not because of a pulpit. I tell you, tonight, it's because of parents that's not doing their jobs in the home. And I say tonight, statement one, stand up. Anybody can stand up. By the way, it's fun to stand up. But if you do stand up, you will get shot at. By the way, somebody says, well, I don't want to stand up because somebody's going to criticize me. They're already criticizing you. At least give them something decent to criticize you about. Hello. Now, by the way, I realize the Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. But can I tell you what it does not say? It does not say, taste of the preacher and see that he is good. You start eating up the preacher, can I tell you something? you're going to find he doesn't taste very good. Now, may I testify? Is it okay? Can I testify tonight? I want to testify a little bit. Testify. May I testify? I am not a perfect preacher. You mean, preacher, you have flaws? So do you. Not being mean, look in the mirror. Hello. But here's what happens. If you go home and have preacher for lunch, and then you still stay in the church where you're eating the preacher, eventually your kids won't listen to him. Now, I'm just being honest. Because you've caused a question in their heart. I'm not saying go home and have accolades of prayer. Oh, we have a godly preacher. Oh, boy, he walks with God. Boy, he's a soul winner. Oh, I'm not saying you got to go home and build it. Just don't destroy it. Don't destroy it. Look, can I tell you something? You say, well, I don't agree with everything that goes on here. You don't even agree with your own family? And when you look in the mirror, you don't even agree with yourself. But you don't go tell your kids, let me tell you what, I don't agree with myself. Matter of fact, when you talk about yourself as being pretty good. And your kids are saying, is that really the parent that I know? What I'm saying is stand up. And by the way, you can stand up in the business. Hey, stand up. Stand up. Somebody says a curse word, stand up. Somebody says a dirty joke, stand up. You don't have to just sit there and take it. You have a God in heaven, and that God in heaven expects you to stand up. But once you stand up, step. Just take a step. By the way, if you're ever going to make progress in life, you got to step. You just have to step. I didn't say step on someone. No. I'm just saying step. Statement number one, how is it that we can lead without excuse? Number one, we stand up. Number two, take a step. You ready? Number three, this is a difficult outline tonight. I'm sorry if you're having trouble following. Stand up. Take a step. We're getting into the more complex of the outline. Go forward. The armor of the Roman soldiers had no backplate. Why is that? Because they did not expect for them to be retreating. It was just a forward march. Okay, did Moses know who he was? Do you think that Moses forgot that he was a murderer? You think he forgot that? Oh, yeah. Maybe I just thought that happened. Do you think he ever forgot that he was a murderer? No. But did he serve God and go forward? Yes. You think that David ever forgot that he was a murderer? You think that Paul ever forgot that he was a murderer? Hey, can I shock you? Are you ready? Most of the Bible that you hold in your hand, Moses, David, Paul, all God used to pen those books that they were given to pen was by former murderers. Preacher, you mean that God can forgive no matter what somebody does? Now, isn't it amazing that God has more forgiveness than you? Look, I've been preaching for a long time. I've been around preachers that have a flaw Let me tell you what their flaw is. Once somebody goes into sin, they are so righteous that they never forgive and restore. And it's in their mind. Now, it may be because they're not walking with God enough to understand the way God is. I don't know. But there are some people that once somebody sins, they will never restore them. They will never help them. Every time they see them, they see, here's how some preachers are. They would see Moses walking down the hallway, and they would say, oh, he's a murderer. Can't use him as a Sunday school teacher. You're quiet, but it's true. Well, you know, he was a murderer, but I don't want my kids around him. Well, you know why you're not amening that? Because most of us are that way. Because we're human and we have human nature, and your nature is not divine. But we have a God that is divine. By the way, if God can forgive a murderer, cannot God forgive you? Now, by the way, we're not going out tomorrow and put a sign out front. All murderers, now hiring. We're not going to do that. We're trying to sign up people that are murderers to work the nursery. Next Sunday, please volunteer. We're not going to do that. Because when some of you sign up, we're going to say, never knew that. But I'm saying tonight, do we understand? Somebody wrote a book. Here's what they said. The first five chapters describes my life. I walked down the street one day and I saw a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fell in it. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It's hopeless. It's not my fault. Someone else put the hole there. It's going to take forever to find my way out. Chapter 2. Same person. I walked down the same street that I walked down yesterday. Yes, I got out of the hole. There's still that same deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretended that I didn't see it, but when I did, I fell in it again. Can't believe I'm in the same place I was yesterday. It's not my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I got out. I walked down the same street as yesterday. I realized that there was a deep hole in the same part of the sidewalk as it was yesterday. I see it's there. I still fell in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I knew where I was going. Yes, I guess it is my fault. I'm going to get out of here immediately because now I'm an expert. Chapter 4. I walked down the same sidewalk as yesterday. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I have enough common sense now. I walked around it. Chapter 5. I decided today I'm walking down a different street. You know, sometimes it takes a long time to learn how to go forward. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I'm going forward and I fell. They get up. But it wasn't my fault that I fell. It was my mother's fault. It was my daddy's fault. It's an inheritable sin. Well, I fell again. Must be my brother's fault. It's the neighborhood we live in. Must be I have the wrong friends. Their fault. Why don't we take credit for what is good and what is bad when it's our fault? How is it that I can lead without excuse? I stand up, I take a step, I go forward. Last statement. When I fall, I get up. When I fall, told you it's deep. Noah fell, but he got up. Samson fell, but he got up. David fell, but he got up. Moses fell, but he got up. Balaam fell, but he got up. Solomon fell, but he got up. Abraham fell, but he got up. Elijah fell, but he got up. Peter fell, but he got up. Isaac fell, but he got up. Saul fell, and he got up. Somebody wrote this. Said this, that there was a day when I believed the Bible and I fell, but I got up. Somebody else wrote this. There was a day when I used to have masculine haircuts. I looked like a man, sharp testimony, but I fell, yet I got up. Lady said, there used to be a day when my dress did matter. I wore dresses that were modest, dresses that was obedient to scriptures, but I fell, but I got up. I used to listen to bad music. It was only because I fell, but I want you to know, I got up. I used to tithe, now I rob God, but I want you to know, got back up. I said a curse word, shouldn't have did it, knew I shouldn't have did it. It was a day of weakness in my life, and I fell, but I got back up. Used to go soul winning and pass out tracts. Used to have a heart for souls. Now I'm cold and calloused. But I want you to know, got back up. Used to be faithful to church, but I fell off the wagon. Used to love God, but I became cold. But I want you to know, I got back up. There's an old Indian fable, not true, just a fable. Here's what it said. The mouse came one day and said, I'm greatly disturbed. I fear the cat. All of a sudden, the magician said, pity, pity, turned the mouse into the cat. The cat came and said, I'm fearful of the dog. The magician said, pity, pity, I turn you into a dog. The dog came and said, I'm afraid now of the tiger. Magician said, I'll turn you into the tiger. The tiger came and said, I'm now afraid of the hunter. Magician said, I'll turn you into the hunter. The hunter came and said, I'm afraid of life. Magician said, there's no hope for you. I'm going to turn you back into the mouse. Because once you have a mouse's heart, you'll always have a mouse's heart. Fable, not true. But I wonder, could it be, it's not the problem here, but it certainly is the problem here. Could it be? Could it be? Could it be that here is where it starts? The fire? Oh, Jeremiah said, I'm not going to do it no more. I will not preach no more. I quit. There's a burning, 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 burning. Now, I do believe, I believe this with all my heart. I believe a person can get so backslidden that they don't care. They get so callous, they don't care. They let their kids run with the devil, act like the devil, they don't care. They let rock music in the home, country music in the home, ungodly dress in the home, ungodly words, they don't care. I believe you can get so far away from God that you become hard. You become hard, almost like Pharaoh is hard. I believe that. I believe that. But I also believe that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he turneth it. I think man can suppress that, but they're not happy. I can't imagine somebody going to bed happy saying, well, I know my kids tonight, they're watching this rated R movie and it's got cursing in it and nudity in it, but I'm okay with that. I can't believe that any parent that walks with God would be okay with that. Are you listening to me tonight? I can't believe that any parent would let their children keep going and going and going and getting closer to the cliff and closer to the cliff and closer to the cliff, and then they just push them off. I can't believe a loving parent would ever do that. But, and by the way, it's not easy. It is not easy to do right when it's easier to do wrong. It's easier to turn the head and keep turning. And here's what we do. You ready? Here's what a parent does. I'll keep turning the head, and I hope that preacher will straighten them out. I hope that in a chapel service, Brother Bokley will be full enough of God that he'll straighten them out. Let's put them in the Christian school because I myself am not doing such a hot job. Maybe they can help me to raise my kids. Hello? Now, I believe you ought to get as much help as you can, especially in this world. I said, I believe you ought to get as much help as you can, especially in this world. But you cannot substitute yourself and your responsibility. You can't do it. Hey, sometimes I've had to look at my kids and say, no, you're not going to do that. But Dad, no. No is still no. I can spell it for you if you want me to. If you don't get it, I can write it on your forehead. Write it backwards, you can read it in the mirror. But no is still no. Now wait, you say, but they're going to rebel. But don't let you be the reason that they rebel. Don't let you be the one that they trip over. Don't let you be the excuse that they're not right with God. Well, I'm going to do it because of mama. I'm going to do it because of daddy. You don't give them an excuse. You ready? You come to church. You enjoy it. You sit in the pew. You go soul winning. You help people. You take and you reach out to people and you give people the gospel. You live that clean life, that life that is God honoring and Christ testifying. You live that life, if you would please, that people can look at and they can say, boy, that's what Christianity is supposed to be like. Look at him! Rather than saying, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you see them in church? Did you watch them? Boy, they have changed. You decide that you can lead without excuse.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.